Greetings and welcome to the Hard News on Friday Nights with Tara and Rama on BDS Radio Station 1. We're so grateful you're joining us here, and we'd like to take a few moments to set the tone for the evening. So take a few gentle breaths. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, slowly, gently, intentionally, as you go into your heart space. And gather with your guides and guardians, your ancestors, your spirit teams, your healing teams, your totems, whoever you like to journey with the Kimi drum with. And there's a council fire here. It's in this, and we'd like to gather around that council fire in that virtual way we know how to do. Okay, so very good. We got all the directions covered. Let's call in those seven galactic directions in the Mayan tradition with the Kimi drum. Welcome from the East, the House of Light. May wisdom open in the dawn that is upon us so that we may see things clearly. Let us welcome from the North, the House of Night. May wisdom mature among us so that we may see everything from within. And we invite from the West, the House of Transformation. May wisdom be transformed into right action so that we might accomplish what must be done. And we welcome from the South, the House of Eternal Sun. May right action give us the harvest so that we might enjoy the fruits of the planetary being. We welcome from above, the House of Paradise, where the star people and the ancestors gather. May their blessings reach us now. We greet from below, the House of the Earth. May the beating of the crystal planet's heart bless us with its harmonies so that we might end war. And we welcome from the central source of the galaxy, which is everywhere at once. May everything be recognized as the light of mutual love. Ayum, Hunaku, Ibimaya, Imaho. Ayum, Hinaku, Ibimaya, Imaho. Ayum, Hunaku, Ibimaya, Imaho. All hail the harmony of mind and nature. In Lakesh Alakin, I am the other you, you are the other me. So let's just stay wherever that drum beat took us as we take a look at the Mayan record of days for today and for the week ahead. So today is the Blue Rhythmic Hand. It's a six manique. Tone 6 is the rhythmic tone. It's balancing, equality, and organize are its three key words. And manique is tribe 7, the hand. No, healing, and accomplishment are its three key words. And we are in the wave of the wind, the voice of spirit. as we are the voice of spirit. Okay, so here's the mantra for today. Are organized in order to know, balancing healing. I seal the store of accomplishment with the rhythmic tone of equality. I am guided by the power of my own power doubled. And so the guide is also the rhythmic tone. And so the ally today is the human ebb. The challenge teacher today is the earth, Kaban. And our caught guide for the day is the wizard, Ish. So let's take a look at that a little bit closer. These aspects for Monique. This is a healing aspect. And it's about healing ourselves and others. It's about creating contentment and peace and accepting the divinity of ourselves. So we have the gifts of being the healer of humankind, that ability to open new doors. Let's let go of any distraction or any belief in inadequacy or any procrastination as we embrace these energies today. And then we've got that energy doubled for the Monique, double Monique. And then moving on to Saturday, tomorrow, it is the day out of time. So, and we do that with Lamont, the Stargate. So we get a lot of fun with that day out of time. It's also Randy's birthday. Anyway, we're looking at a visionary aspect with Lamont, the Stargate. And it's about the illumination of humankind. It's about opening the Stargate. So we have the gifts of journeying, that pioneer spirit, having that power to see beyond. So let's let go of any dissonance or any self-doubt as we embrace these energies on this day out of time. And then moving on to Sunday, we begin the new year. It's the new galactic year, and it is an 8 Muluk, so that's the galactic tone. And this will be the energy we're working with for the entire year until next year on July the 26th when we move into a new year, which are all in the Gateway family. I'll have to share with you the Gateway family. So the galactic new year begins when Sirius rises above the morning, appears in the morning horizon again. So that's what the cycle is. And let's look at Muluk, this energy that we're going to carry every day of the year. This is an artist aspect. Oh, yay. So we have that wise use of rational mind. We're accepting spirit's direction. And we have these gifts of that contact with spirit, that remembrance of our task. That universal mind is our mind. And the gift of telepathy. So we're letting go of any insensitivity, any attachment to omens, or any self-doubt as we embrace these energies for the whole year, starting on Sunday. And it's an 8 tone, which is the galactic tone. So that's that, it's that octave energy. So it's like moving to the next level. So what a beautiful way to spend a year, right? So there you go. Let's move on from Sunday to Monday. It's a 9 Oak, the white solar dog. And this is an artist aspect. It's about unconditional love and healing the pain of the past. It's the gifts are that having contact with our spirit guides. And awareness of our destiny, awareness of our past lives, and loyalty to humankind. So that's that dog energy for sure. Let go of any fears or any unwise use of anger with this energy. And so there you go. That's Monday. Then Tuesday, moving on, is a Tantuan, the blue planetary monkey. This is an artist aspect. Also, so it's about balancing work and play, and paying attention to clarity of mind and that wise use of magical artistry. And we have the gifts of innocence, spontaneity, that ability to play and laugh and have a good time, enjoy ourselves and our friends and life itself. So let go of any insensitivity or jadedness or resistance to compassion as we embrace these energies. On Tuesday and then on Wednesday is an 11 ebb, the yellow spectral human. This is a full moon day with the yellow spectral human. And it's at 10:36 Eastern time in the morning, 10:36 in the morning. So if you're in Central time, it's 9:36. That's a pretty powerful time, 9:36. Anyway, just for your time zone, and we celebrate this full moon in Aquarius. So the yellow human is a healing aspect. It's about enlightenment of humankind. It's about activating cosmic consciousness and attuning to spirit. So we embrace these gifts of being the human servant warrior, the gift of abundance, and that contact with other dimensions. So let's let go of any dependence on the analytical mind as we embrace these energies on Wednesday and celebrate that full moon energy. And then on Thursday, it's the 12 Ben, the red crystal skywalker. This is a warrior aspect, and our work with that is focus and striving towards self-illumination and clarity. So we have the gifts of strength and that ability to bend dimensions with this skywalker energy. We're letting go of any resistance to faith, any belief in aloneness as we embrace these energies. On Thursday, and then on Friday is a Friday the 13th. It's a 13 East, the white cosmic mirror. So this is a visionary aspect, and it's about the illumination for others, the clarity of mind and purpose. And we have the gifts of being that shaman, that using that jaguar medicine, gift of integrity, working in accordance with divine will. Let go of any control or personal power issues. Any manipulation as we embrace these energies on Friday, and we'll talk about it some more next Friday when we come back and we'll celebrate that 13 tone talking with Mother. So that'll be fun. And so I want to change my hat and give you the update on what we need for our expenses. Do a little bit of housekeeping here. As we are a listener-supported radio program, it's all of us that make it happen, and we need $184 for our fees with BBS Radio. So go into your heart states, see what is yours to give, then go to bbsradio.com, and there on the top of the page you see the schedule for the different radio stations. So click on Radio Station 1 and look for the hard news at the 8 o'clock hour on Friday night, and you will see that are listening there for this program. So as you click on the icon, it'll take you directly to our account with BBS Radio, where you can make a donation in any amount. So thank you for taking that action. We are so grateful. And then we also have a program on Saturdays. It's at 3:30 hour Central time. It's on Radio Station 2, so you'll find that in the Radio Station 2 schedule on Saturdays at 3:30. As you find that icon, I'm going to make a donation. Just click on it, and it takes you to our account, and you can make a donation using your bank card in any amount. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So we're also assisting Tara and Rama with their needs. And their rent is coming up. They need $400 for that. And they also need $100 for bills. So as you can assist on that, here's how you do it. Go to paypal.com. And the sending address is as follows. Koran, K-O-R-A-N, 499999. at hotmail.com. And again, Coran9999@hotmail.com. So there you go. And as you're sending something, let Rowan know what you sent, as he doesn't get a direct email otherwise. So let him know. His email address for letting him know what you sent, when you sent it, is Coran999@comcast.net. And I'll say it again, Coran, Coran999 at comcast.net. So just let them know what you sent and when you sent it. And also, there's a mailing address if you would like that to send a check or money order by mail. The address is Ram, R-A-M-D, Berkowitz, B-E-R-K-O-W-I-T-Z, Post Office Box 280-280, Santa Cruz, New Mexico. The zip code is 87567. Let's try that again. Post Office Box 280, Santa Cruz, New Mexico, zip code 87567. So there you have it, all the information. I want to give you the web address if you'd like to go there. The address is rainbowroundtable.net. Rainbowroundtable.net. And it's a good website. It has lots of information there and lots of good pictures. The updates are there. And at the end of the website, you'll find a GoFundMe for extra expenses incurred for supplements and medicines for both Tara and Rama. So thank you for making a donation there as you can. We're grateful. And then what else? Oh, yeah. It's the talking stick. And I haven't figured out this talking stick, but it definitely has all the rays and the rainbow. And it's a belated birthday cake. Oh my God, there's a birthday cake on it, Rama. I think that's for you. And it's got a whole lot of candles on it. and with a fire permit hanging off the side. And lots of little people, lots of fairies and feathers, and all the elementals are there. And everybody's celebrating your birthday belatedly. And I think that's worth celebration too. So greetings, Tara and Rama. Welcome. Here comes that talking stick.
Greetings. Thank you, Rainbird. Thank you, everyone.
Happy birthday to today is really Randy's birthday.
Yes, coming up this day out of time, a new year. This is a big deal. And we're going to hear from... I'll think of her name here in a moment. Pam Gregory talking about the nodal access that is going to happen. The north nodes moving into Aquarius, south nodes moving into Leo. This is a very big deal with the energies as things are moving quite rapidly. Every day I keep hearing from the Pashats, the crew, Tom, Larry, Curly, Moe, and Sweet Angelique, that we are in such a magnificent time of change, all for the better. And the other stories are the ending of a timeline completely. And I found this video called Illusion that Greg Braden is in, Matthias is in it, and so many other people talking about what's happening with the energies at this time, because this is huge with what is going on with our bodies, the planet, the other stories that need to be told to bring closure to eons of, let's say, anything other than perfection. We are in a new timeline. This new year begins in less than 24 hours, and it is about heaven on earth. And I'm going to pass the talking stick here to Lord Kryon, talking about what is happening with these energies. Okay. Stepping into your power without fear. This is a big one.
Greetings, dear ones. I am Kryon of Magnetic Service. This new energy that some of you are experiencing is truly new. And there begin to be questions about the new energy from light workers who are feeling it. And one of them we're getting is an interesting one. May not be yours, but you should hear the answer. In this new energy, I understand I can step into my power. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid of who I might become. You could look at that phrase and it defines duality. Duality, you might say, is that old concept of the angel on one shoulder and the devil on the other. It's just, who's going to win this battle today of energies, you might say? And amongst the idea that you could step into your power, which means a full change of reality, among that, there is then the doubt that says, yeah, but what's next? What will I become? Should I be afraid of that? Can you see the dichotomy there, dear ones? This is a channel about enablement. This is a channel about love. It's a channel about how you are looked at, taken care of, hugged, you might say, as a human being. You probably have heard the phrase, you have free choice. And indeed, the human does. Mostly, that free choice is about accepting that which is before you, that is spiritual or not, awakening to a grander truth or not. And there's no penalty for you not awakening to a grander truth, dear ones, none at all. Unlike what you might have been taught by some spiritual systems, there is no penalty. Remember the prodigal son, the interesting parable where you have two sons on the planet and the father sends them in to be whatever they're going to be. This is the metaphor of spirit sending two humans into the planet. One does everything right, one does everything wrong. They both come home, and they get the same party. The metaphor, they both pass over back to the veil, and there's no punishment. That's the truth. It's a good parable, because that is the teaching that we give every day. There's no penalty if you don't suddenly awaken to the things that I'm channeling about, because you see, you're always loved, regardless of what you do. Now, concerning this particular phrase that I gave you, if I step into my power, I'm afraid of who I might become. I want you to know something. That when you start to step into your power, why not define that? What is your power? Your power really would be defined as that which you contain now, but you can expand because you're using that which is the God inside and the guidance that comes with it and the light that comes with it. You step into your power, meaning you step into a reality that has guidance in it. But you come out of an old reality that doesn't. Therefore, you carry what you assume in the old reality into the new reality, and it's the same fear. It's the same paradigm. You can't do that. So let's study that. There is, you might say, more light now than there was last year, 2025. There is a whole lot more energy that is benevolent to the light worker, the old soul, in the energy right now that you're listening to me in. There is, there truly is. If you wish to find it, these have been the channels, if you've been listening. Finding it is about you then dropping the baggage of the old energy and allowing that which is a lighter energy to enter your life. In other words, you're going to have to learn what it's like to be freer. But it's difficult because you bring into this light energy everything that is old. Now, the defense mechanisms of a light worker against the arrows of ugliness and all when you're trying to be compassionate truly are there. You learn to work with the old energy in a way that you are safe. And all light workers do this. You have to. You have to. You have just gone through perhaps a very difficult time, especially in the last 3 years. It's been ugly. It truly is. It's almost like, I would say, the old energy approaches you in cascades of difficulty. And some of you found that true. Now you're working in the light, in a light that wasn't there before, dear ones. And this light that was not there before is what we're speaking of. You would think, would you not, that if there is a dark room and you're just feeling around in it and you wish it was better, and then suddenly it gets lighter and you walk into a light room, you go, oh, that's much better. I can just walk more freely and this is good. Well, that paradigm and that metaphor, that whole example, it doesn't work with energy. It really doesn't. Because you have a personality. Old soul that you might be, beautiful old soul light worker you might be, you still have had 30 years or so of dark energy thrown at you called the shift. It's an energy we predicted all along, and the ancients have too. And you've gone through it, and here you are. Yeah. Walking in a lighter energy where things don't push back. And yet, you're ready for them to push back, aren't you? You carry the reality from last year into this year, so you're afraid of what you might become. If you took that power of light, so the issue here and the subject of this channel and the teaching would be this. You've got to learn how to use this lighter energy. How to drop the things that you carry in with you that have been your tools and weapons and shields and all that, whatever you've used from the past, to shield you from energy that was not commensurate with your magnificence. And here you are. And suddenly you might understand that the things that were bumping you and bothering you and assaulting you in energy, they're not there. Now, I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the energy of your space before you. This is a dimensional shift that invites you to learn what it's about to walk in the light. A lighter energy is one that you don't have to fight when you get up in the morning. Mm-hmm. You got to learn that. Now, if you're one that is going to learn that, dear ones, if you're one, perhaps, that is asking, well, what does it mean? What really does it mean to walk in a lighter energy? I will tell you this. You can have so much more guidance, and the learning will be so much shorter if you will study being joyful. It's time to enter that world of the inner child that we have told you for many, many years is exceptionally valuable. And what happens with the inner child is you are studying exactly what it says, a time when you were not pressed with the responsibilities that you are now. And you were free, and you could laugh. And the worst thing you could do is play too long, perhaps, and your mom wanted you to come inside. That inner child is in every single human. These are things that don't go away. They really don't. You might say, well, they're past memories. Everything is still there. Your brain supports this. But more than that, the emotions and the energies are still there. You know how you can prove that? Almost every single one of you has had perhaps a very embarrassing moment, or perhaps a time you'll remember for the rest of your life because something happened. And if you go back to that place, you'll be embarrassed all over again and feel the sorrow perhaps you did it. You just don't want to even go there. And why is that? And that's because it's etched into your mind, your brain. All of that is still there. Therefore, the joy is there as well. It may not carry the same impact as the other things, but when you start going there, you can laugh with it and realize it's still there. Your childhood. Now, you might say, well, I didn't have a very good one. You still laughed. You know you did. There were times when you had a wonderful time with your peers, perhaps, or at school, perhaps. There were times for all humans when they could laugh and did. And that'd be you. So I'm teaching you what one of the learning aspects would be like to work in a lighter energy that you've never seen before. Instead of carrying the darkness in with you, you drop that which does not suit you. You become lighter because you've dropped it. You start seeing joy when it wasn't there before. And when you can get to that point where you're starting to learn what a lighter energy can be and be for you, that's when all manner of things start to happen, including the one that some of you have tuned in to hear. That is allowance to heal your body. You've always had the ability, but in the lighter energy, it's been expanded. Talking to innate, it's been expanded. Intuition, it's been expanded. But not until you understand that you're going to have to learn to be lighter. Learn to be lighter means learn to be more joyful. Take time to laugh at yourself and others. Find funny movies. Do whatever you can. This will be a staple of the Crying teaching from now on. There's got to be fun. And this is a catalyst, dear ones, for absolutely everything else that you wanted. What if you took your power and then became someone else so that people would say, what happened to you? I really like it. What happened? And you could say, I had compassion and guidance and love that brought me to who I am now, as you discuss that new you, and you didn't have to do any of it yourself, not really, because love led the way, compassion led the way, kindness was the glue that put it all together, and you became someone else, and there was no fear. Do not fear the guidance of the Creator. You are becoming closer to that which you are in the magnificence that you were born in. And in all of that, dear ones, you just follow the love. There's no fear in that. I'm crying in love with you all. And so it is.
Okay. Things are kind of glitching a little bit.
Yeah, I heard that funny noise.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
Oh.
Yeah. Oops. I didn't want to. I'm getting
You got
it.
something for us on that page there?
I was looking. Yeah. I didn't quite find what I saw yesterday, but I could play this, what we listened to on the Zoom call with Jen. Mel?
This is one for today, though.
I gotta look and see if she has one for today.
She has one for every day.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, she has one for today that's 22 minutes. Oh, the one yesterday is shorter.
So you want to re-listen to that? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, it's shorter. We don't have that much more time.
Okay, let's do that. Let's
Okay, here we
do it.
go.
We'll listen again to Mel Lawson. Here we go.
Okay.
Happy Thursday, everyone. It is July 23rd, 2026, and I have a message for you all today. If you don't know me, my name's Mel. I channel messages, I read energy, I remote view, and do all sorts of things. If you're interested in a personal reading or energy work, please feel free to check out my link tree for more information. And remember, I will never reach out to you first. Before I begin, I want to correct something. Yesterday was not the 23rd. Clearly not. It was the 22nd. But for some reason, and who knows why, I thought it was the 23rd. And it wasn't just, me misspeaking. I literally thought it was the 23rd. It's somebody's birthday today. And I literally congratulated her or wished her happy birthday, rather, yesterday instead of today. That's how much I thought it was the 23rd. Go figure that one. I guess time really is an illusion. So here we are on the 23rd. Based on the human construct, okay? Anyway, today I'm going to be talking about the holographic projection of that the Matrix has. And something in particular that I didn't know or wasn't aware of, and I'm sure many of you weren't aware of either. If you've been following my channel, you know that I've spoken about the holographic projection that is the Matrix that is making this place look the way it is. Okay. Puts forth the illusion. Now, this holographic matrixy projection is like an overlay. Okay. We in this human space, in this physical plane here, in the third dimensional place, we require a holographic program in order for our physical avatars to be able to exist and have this experience. So, but when we initially were starting our existences here a long, long time ago, eons ago, there was an organic program that was meant to support our expansion and our experiences before it was hijacked and the Matrix was installed. And the Matrix, we all know, isn't really supporting our expansion. It is meant to kind of keep us stuck and in the same pattern, right? But that's not what this video is about. This particular matrix program has multiple layers. It is being supported by multiple sources. It just makes sense, right? It's like a fail-safe. If one goes, you got the other. If one goes, you got the other. List this and that, right? And the matrix program we already know is sort of one of the things that breaks it down is our frequency, it is a program and a network. Right, that is missing bits and pieces because each one of us is part of this network and it's already breaking down because it cannot connect. So that's one of the things. But I'm going to talk about another part that I wasn't aware of. Okay, it's another one of those layers. So apparently, this matrix program is being supported by harnessing power from vortices in on the globe. Okay. Now it's not harnessing the power through all vortices. I was told that there are a total of three particular vortices that are being used to, or were, okay, let's go there, because one of them is down. Three of these vortices were being used to harness power, to assist and support the other parts, okay? Now, I don't know how long these vortices have been used. I am sure that they've been put, okay, for quite some time. So this goes far beyond our lives, okay? I don't know if it goes all the way back to the beginning. This may have been something that was started to be harnessed as things start to get a little rougher, or maybe they started to harness the power of these vortices when people started to wake up. I don't know, okay? I have no idea. This could have been thousands of years of harnessing, or just a couple hundred years or 50 years. I don't know. Either way, it doesn't matter. The fact is that one of these vortexes was located in the Grand Canyon and in the United States, in Arizona. And this, I'm told, was in an area where tourists are not allowed. Okay, so this isn't an area where nobody was like readily walking around, hiking and all that good stuff. Okay. And isn't it interesting that the Grand Canyon does have some parts that are supposedly off limits? Okay, so just keep that in mind. I really wonder. Okay, here, put two and two together. Now, another part of this is, how are they harnessing that energy, that, you know, whatever it is that they need in order to program? Like, I don't know if it's energy or whatever it is that's coming from these vortices, but it does include something that is very unique to being able to harness the power that's within these vortex, in this vortex and vortices. And that is, they're using a spell. Like, the vortex is bespelled. It's spell work, okay? Now, I didn't know this. Not only did I not know that these vortices are being harnessed by the Matrix in that regard to power the program, I never thought of it. But I also wasn't aware that they're, the way that it's being harnessed includes spells, like magical spells. Now, we know that the entire world is bespelled, okay? If you're come to my page and my channel, and you don't realize that a lot of things in our world run through the through spells, and that everything is kind of being manipulated through creating an illusion through spells, then you might need to look into that a little bit more, okay? Because at this point, you should realize that. Spells are used in music. Spells are used when you attend events. Spells are used everywhere to harness energy, to harness all kinds of things, to control, to manipulate, to do whatever. And that's just the Matrix, okay? That's what it is. That's what it's made of. It uses spells. And this isn't just your average neighborhood witch spell. We're talking some powerful ancient spell work, okay? And spells that may not even be human, okay? And aren't, okay? This goes beyond our regular practice, you know. I don't practice witchcraft, but, you know, the average individual wouldn't be able to kind of do it to that extent. Anyway, spells. So I was told that one of them, the one in Grand Canyon, was just taken down. And when that happened, my spirit team is telling me, and I'm meant to give you this message, these exact words: it has begun. Now, when I asked him, what are you talking about? We've heard this before, right? Like, what has begun? There's a lot of beginnings in this whole process of what we've been experiencing. And what I'm being told is that the breakdown of the illusion of what we see has begun. So that tells me that we might just be looking at the program starting to glitch a lot more, and maybe in a bigger way. Again, there are two more of these vortices that need to be addressed, and they will be. And when I asked, well, why are we announcing it, right? Like, why are you telling me this? Why am I not? Shouldn't this be like a secret operation? You know, my human just wants to go all covert on this, right? And what they said was, it doesn't matter. It cannot be prevented. They cannot stop this. And then I thought to myself, well, can they redo it in using some of the other ones? Because, you know, again, my human wants to know. Because, again, we have lots of vortices around the world. And if only three of them are being harnessed then or used for that, then what keeps them from using something else? And, again, I was told that the intricate web and setup that it took to establish that vortex and these vortices to being used for this purpose is way too big or way too complex to just simply go, oh, I'm going to go over here and just redo it, do a spell work and do that. That's not how it works. Okay. Mm-hmm. It takes time. It is something that they don't really have the ability to redo in that way, at least not very quickly. So that's where we are. So basically, the purpose of keeping it secret isn't as important as to let you all know that the Matrix program is on the verge of coming down. Okay, it outweighs the benefits. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. Sometimes we kind of have to see, should we keep something secret or should we tell the people so they can prepare? And in this case, it's tell the people so they can prepare. I mean, we've known this, but I think it's kind of like, if you ask me, this is kind of like Spirit's way of telling us, prepare yourself. We're getting there. We're getting closer. We're getting closer, right? Without telling us an exact date. But again, it's almost as though they're telling us in a different way, that things are heating up. I'm excited. How about you? Let me know your thoughts on this whole thing. Did you know about those vortices, that they're being used for that? Again, I never really looked into it. It wasn't on my radar. So, you know, am I surprised? No, of course not. But very interesting stuff. Let me know your thoughts and stay tuned for more. Bye.
Buddy, we're going to go to our
conference call.
What's the number real quick, Ron?
720-716-7301. And the PIN code is 353-863-pound. See you there. Namaste.
In the office of the Christ. And only in the office of the Christ, we invoke the loving energies of Saint Germain and the Violet.
We ask at this time for all the angels to come, Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Gabriel, Uriel, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west. We ask for the highest good of all concern to happen here. And We pass this talking stick to you, Mother. Greeting.
Greeting, children of Ra. We are in such a momentous moment here with the lineup of planets and frequencies pouring in. Lots of changes going on. It is this time in this particular cycle as we move into this age of Aquarius. It's an air sign. Lots of stuff going on with the air. Gotta learn how to do that breath of fire. It helps the body absorb more light coming in. It is at this moment we can say our wayward children know it's pretty much over, and they are playing out their last
hurrahs.
Yeah, it is.
And that doesn't bother them? They're not worried about...
Let's say that they somehow have turned off that part of self that is...
They got their false egos sitting there blaring out into the public eye.
In a sense, they cannot hear the rabble, which is their misfortune, because on a soul level, it is not the rabble. It is the planet herself, along with all of us, that are saying enough is enough. And what happens next, this we can metaphorically speak of it. Doctor Who and the Time Lords come in and tweak a few gears, nuts and bolts, and we're in a new timeline. New year coming up here with the day out of time. Happy birthday, Randy. It is
one more day.
One more day. Everything that is taking place at these crucial moments is about what the sun is pouring in here.
Yes.
The sun is giving us everything we need in terms of the information that the cells receive in order to shift and change. This is happening very quickly in these bodies, temples. That is why there is this, we can call it climate disruption, because we're moving into a new frame of reference in this solar system, moving along the galactic plane, moving closer towards the star Vega. And what's happening as we move closer to the star Vega, this cycle of the old Piscean age has completed itself. Aquarius taking hold in a grand way, just days ago, this basket of energies, Jupiter.
Barball's basket.
Yes, Saturn, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, has Hades, Pluto, moves us along this journey. Everything has taken place. As Patty calls it, the fortunate fall, when we lost our abilities and got a bit absorbed into the matrix.
That's it.
And we've come full circle. This is the explanation we can give why, in the last, we could say since Harmonic Convergence, a 1987, till now, this time to get us ready for what's coming in. And what is coming in is our ascension, as it's already taking place. As we are in the fifth dimension, new heaven, new earth, yet there is still, and yet, what Mel Austin calls the matrix, that there are programs running. And let's say there are agents of light within the programs that are waking folks up, like Neo and Morpheus and Trinity, letting folks know the matrix has to go. It has completed itself. And the old timeline is finished, over. This is why the old power crowd are making a very desperate attempt to
hold on to power
and create this illusion of freedom that is not freedom. It is about more control. Where are your papers? And gotta send the situations more love and stay neutral. It is a very intense moment not to get involved, because everybody on this planet is involved. And the things that are coming out each day about disclosure and what has occurred since the fall till now, the bits and pieces of the puzzle are forming back together so that we can figure out what we did. And send more love to that situation and compassion for the events that unfolded at the moment. We fail to have words to describe the genocide and the other issues. We blaze the violent fire. Said love, compassion, the lifting up so there is no samsara, even though suffering's optional. And at the moment, let's say, as the North Node moving into Aquarius, South Mode, moving into Leo, things are lighting up, and it's about this energy force moving us into this age of prosperity, enlightenment, compassion, love for every single soul, no matter what they may or may not have done. And even those light parties in the West Wing, send more love. That's how we get through this and not get any on you, so to speak. It's like a cosmic dance that is about this. Lord, make me an instrument of thy peace. Where there is such hatred, let me sow love. The only hatred going on is about what is in the cells of the life forms that are choosing not to listen to the sound of the great bell that is being rung throughout the cosmos, like Thich Nhat Hanh speaks about the great bell. That sound frequency changes space, time, matter, antimatter, all of it. We are all beings that resonate with sound frequencies. The mantras, what Mel talked about, spells. I cast a spell. Let's say that ancient ones, very ancient, our wayward children, Babylon, Gilgamesh, Enkidu, Darmok, and Jalad, on the ocean. The metaphors are about how we heal that wild man inside self, wild woman, the women who run with the wolves. It is time to take the power back with love. Goddess knows what to do with these situations. It has been here since the beginning. Love is the answer, not war. And that is the first and foremost, as we can forgive ourselves, we can move forward for whatever may have done. And we better pass the talking stick to Miss Pam Gregory.
Well, Mother,
Yes.
what can we look forward to in terms of working on something for this next coming week?
What we can look forward to is this nodal access into Aquarius. And the frequencies coming in so that
What is the nodal axis? What can you explain that?
the different nodes. North node is moving into Aquarius. It was in the previous sign.
And south node is in Leo.
Moving into Leo. And what the north south, we are moving north. That's the frequency that this hemisphere is moving into, northern hemisphere, the north node. It is time for the, like the song says, Age of Aquarius. As we can comprehend how to work with each other without judgment, prejudice, ego, there can be some healing that occurs across so many different realms. All it takes is just one of us to say, love is the answer.
So each one of us has a particular native nodal access in relationship to all the other planets and where they're located.
Yes.
It brings out our individuality within a cooperative community.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
As you want to not listen to the wisdom, your body will take you wherever you wish to go. It may not be exactly
where you need to be.
That's right.
And might not be too much fun.
Grace happens and those other things happen. And gotta send more love. Greetings.
Greetings, Mother, in the light of the most radiant one. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sabaoth. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sabaoth. Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Adonai, Sabaoth. Eliyahu, Eliyahu, Eliyahu. Aloha, Mother. See you next week. And every time in between, you can call on Mother. She will answer you. Ask and you'll get your answer. You just got to take a little moment here. Give Rama a chance to come back in his body. Moment of quiet. Hi, Ram.
Oh,
where have you been?
Taos Mountain to listen to the hum. Taos hum. That is
still going strong, huh?
Still going strong. That is the sound of the mother, Mother Earth. There are all kinds of places around the planet, not just in Taos, where you can hear the hum. And it's about the sub-etheric generators that are underneath certain mountain ranges that keep things in balance so that we don't have a polar shift. And they installed these sub-etheric generators.
Who's they?
The Watchers. The original
Great Silent Watchers.
They installed the sub-etheric generators soon after we all became propagated life forms on the planet. And they keep things in balance, like the pyramids in Egypt, pyramids in Mexico, Bosnia.
So
Thailand.
When we're going and having a fight, a war zone like that, then how does that?
Well, it's like I could say what Mel Lawson is saying, that the vortexes are acting a bit bizarre, and I don't think that one vortex was taken down and it's not there anymore. I don't know what to say about who Mel Lawson talks to and her guides yet. As far as my understanding goes, you cannot take out a vortex or a stargate on the planet. That's, we don't have the kind of weapons.
Well, when the United States is bombarding and killing everything in sight over there in the Middle East, then what?
Then we get some galactic help, and I better play this before the time goes by.
Okay, everybody, let's hold this in our hearts and
here we go.
Play some violet fire.
Come on. I'm trying to get the mouse to move.
Okay. Here we go.
Hi everyone, I just wanted to come on and do a short video today about the nodal axis moving into Aquarius and Leo, which it's doing the true node moves in on the 26th of July and will stay in those opposing signs, North Node in Aquarius, South Node in Leo, until March 2028. They have an 18.6 month cycle. And the last time the North Node was in Aquarius and the South Node in Leo was in from December 07, 2007, until August 09. So if you can remember, if you look back to those years and remember what was happening in your life then, that can be very helpful because there's normally an echo of whatever you were doing last time around. And the houses that they are falling in will prompt your memory. For instance, for me, they are straddling the third house and the ninth house. I have a north node in Aquarius, a south node in Leo. So back in 2008 to going into 2009, I was actually studying for my master's qualification in astrology. I've mentioned that in the last update, but this time around, of course, I'm studying shamanism now. So again, it's a metaphysical study, and there's a kind of spiraling upwards. So if you can remember, that's helpful. So, and I'm just going to give some short explanations of these pairs of houses because it's an axis. The nodal axis is an axis. It has two ends, the north node end and the south node end, and therefore, that opposing pair of houses will be very activated for the next 18 months until March 2028, because that's where the eclipses broadly will fall as well. Now, just a word really about the nodes in terms of your natal chart, because I believe that the nodes always have a sense of destiny about them. They are the most destined part of our charts, I believe, and I think that's true collectively as well as individually. I believe that they aim to lead our evolution because the North Node is about either your individual or the collective soul's path of growth going forwards, and the South Node is what you've already learnt. You don't have to leave it behind. You can integrate it with your with who you are now. You don't have to abandon it. But the compass needle, if you like, is your north node. And I very much see it as a compass needle individually in your birth chart. In fact, when I was writing, this was my second book, as many of you know, How to Co-create Using the Secret Language of the Universe. And this was all about the nodes, and it's a workbook. And so you can take your own birth chart and work with this as a workbook to better understand your nodal axis, start to incorporate some other parts of the chart, and it helps greatly with your self-understanding because I believe that the nodes are possibly the deepest aspect of you because they operate at the soul level, not so much at the personality level, at the soul level. There is so much to know about the nodes. And while I was writing that book, and actually you need minimal astrology to be able to work with that book because it really takes you from zero all the way through. And when I was writing the book, I kept having a vision of the birth chart going from being a circle to almost having a compass needle. So it became like almost a teardrop shape with the north node being the compass needle and the whole rest of the chart being the cavalry backing up the north node, because that's where we have to head in our lifetime as individuals to achieve any kind of soul's growth, soul satisfaction in this life, and the rest of the chart back it up. And it's fascinating once you start to go through the layers of that. And I believe that's also true collectively as well, but it's very clear to see when you're working with your own chart individually. And when the outer planets, particularly planets Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, come to aspect your nodal axis, particularly by conjunction, you will very likely have some profound experiences. They could be quite paranormal, spiritual. They could be past parallel life experiences that you have flashbacks, or that people come into your life from different lifetimes. It becomes quite mystical, because I believe that the nodal axis actually looks like an infinity symbol. It's weaving the eight, if you like, and it weaves the eight, I believe, of your soul's path through many, many lifetimes. So I believe the North Node and the South Node actually act like portals into other dimensions and other lifetimes. And when you have strong aspects, as I've just described, to your nodal axis, either end, you can kind of start to access some of those different experiences in different lifetimes and different dimensions. It's like the veil is very thin around each end of the axis. And it's the South Node, as I say individually, is what we've already learned, but that is more representative of your past life or past lives or parallel lives, if you want to call them that. And the North Node, as I say, is where we're headed. Now, I have three separate teaching videos on the nodes. One is very simple. It's the video companion to the book, to extend the knowledge of the book. And I'll put the link for that below. The other two teaching videos are not beginner's videos, so I don't want you to waste your money if you're a beginner. And they are an advanced nodes webinar I did a few years ago, and also something which is more advanced called the alchemy of relationship, which includes looking at the nodes between two people, because the nodes are incredibly powerful in relationship astrology, incredibly powerful. Even when you don't seem to get a match anywhere else, you know, the suns and moons aren't matching up, the Mercury's, you know, other things just aren't making any sense in how strong that relationship chemistry appears to be. But if you look at the nodes, that can explain a great deal, because it's a past or parallel life connection that runs really deep. They run like super glue. However different you appear in this lifetime, and however different your interests are and you are as people, there's something very mystical and almost, you know, inexplicable about how people who have nodal contacts just have to be together for periods in their lives, whether it's a romantic relationship, whether it's a friendship. Very often you reconvene in this lifetime as part of a family group. I could go on and on, actually, but anyway, we must focus just on where the nodes are moving to collectively. But just so you know that, because I find them absolutely fascinating, and I think I'm just really scratching the surface and need to dig much deeper. Anyway, back to what it means for the collective. So the transiting North Node moving into Aquarius on the 26th of July, and that means that the transiting South Node is moving into Leo at that time. It's an axis, okay? They move together. And the nodes aren't actually planets. They are points in space that are created by the orbit of the moon. But it's remarkable how powerful they are, considering they are points in space. And in your birth chart, of course, they are points in space from that moment of birth all those years ago. And yet they still resonate incredibly, incredibly powerfully through your life. So with the North Node in Aquarius, that is going to reinforce all of the themes I've talked about with Pluto in Aquarius across many videos going all the way back to 2023. But just to reiterate those themes, I mean, on the less positive side of the expression of Pluto in Aquarius, it's about technology. Pluto is about control by technology. It's interesting that in November 2027, next year, Pluto is going to become exactly conjunct the north node. Remember, the nodes move backwards. So they enter a sign at 29 degrees, 59 minutes of the sign, and they progress all the way through to zero and then enter the next sign, which will be 29, 59 of Capricorn next March 2028. So this is a lot about technological innovation. Worst case, controlled by technology. We can see very easily how that's a potential theme. AI data centers that are very big in the news right now. Invisible government, everything being digitized ID. Positively, this is really the recognition that everything is frequency, everything is energy. Think of the two jaggedy lines, the glyph of Aquarius. And of course, everything always has been energy and frequency. We just haven't been very aware of it. So the very positive side of Aquarius is it's about networks, it's about community, collaboration, finding your tribe of frequency, coming together with like-minded people. Yes, it's a lot to do with innovation, wonderful innovations. These could be healing innovations. It could be a lot to do with aviation, because Aquarius is ruled by Uranus, and both the sign and the planet are about aviation, rapid developments in aviation. So I think we're going to see an enormous amount of that, maybe zero gravity transport in coming times. Nassim Harriman, I know, is working on that and sees that as a possibility in the next few years. I think aviation is going to change out of all recognition in the coming years. Remember, Pluto stays in Aquarius long term. So this is also very futuristic. It's also about finding your unique expression, finding your individuality at a deeper level than you have ever done before, but also understanding how that individual essence or gift fits in with the whole, to contribute. That's your gift to the whole, because the Aquarius energy is very much about the group, the people, the network, the tribe. So it's quite paradoxical that you feel more individual than you've ever felt before, but equally you want to give back to the tribe. So it's very humanitarian. It's more egalitarian, certainly, than Leo. We'll come on to in a moment. And it's very rebellious, revolutionary energy, because, again, it's ruled by Uranus, hugely about freedom. Freedom of the people, the revolution of the people. We know Pluto is going to be out of bounds to the south until 2035. Look at the fabulous research of Rosie Finn that I've referred to so many times. Old relationships are going to fall away as new frequency connections come online very strongly. But because whatever the sign that Pluto is moving through, it tends to intensify and catalyze that sign, the symbolism of that sign. And we've now got the North Node in Aquarius too. It's a real double whammy on that focus. So technology and AI are going to go like a storm. They're going to develop so fast, and we have to be very aware of that and make the right choices. The ruler of Aquarius is Uranus in Gemini. Be very conscious and wise and thinking strategically and long term about the choices you make about things like AI. And again, I've spoken about that in some detail. So the South Node is in Leo, and that, when we look at the South Node, we tend to look at what in part we are leaving behind, but also integrating to create better balance. Aquarius, remember, is much more equitable, wants a more horizontally based society, not a vertically based society. And so with the South Node in Leo, I think this we'll see in the next 18 months or so, a lot of the end of grandiosity and narcissism and privilege, elitism, entitlement in leadership, because Leo is very much about leadership. You know, the gross inequality, the the almost obscene flaunting of wealth. You know, Louis XVI's golden palace is what comes to mind. And it's very much about the individual leader. It's about celebrity, it's about royalty, it's about those that we have worshipped on a public stage. All of that kind of worship and idolatry, if you like, is going to come into question, because North Node in Aquarius emphasizes, strengthens this theme of the power moving to the people, the power moving to the people. And so this will birth a much more heart-centered leadership at its best. Leo, the heart, that's the, one of the best expressions of this nodal axis. For sure, it will evolve our sense of leadership, because an awful lot of corruption is going to come to light, and that's going to wake people up to say, you know, what are we doing? That, you know, we wouldn't tolerate these standards in ourselves, let alone our extremely well-paid leaders. What are we doing? So I think there will be a very strong demand for greater accountability, transparency, and greater equability in society. And that isn't just for the next 18 months, it's the whole period while Pluto is in Aquarius as well. Now, it's very helpful to look at which pair of houses this nodal axis is falling across, because obviously it's got two ends. And so these are just very simple explanations for you. And you can, again, dig deeper into the material I just suggested, if you'd like to. The North Node end is obviously your growth end, your compass needle, your focus. And the South Node is what you've already learnt and is falling away. So which pair of houses? If it's first and seventh, this is very much about relationship, particularly the seventh house. And the first house is about your own sense of identity and confidence, the way you project yourself in the world. But that whole axis is really about relationship. Second and eighth, second is very much to do with self-worth, but also money, your income. And the eighth house is other people's money. You know, if you're married or in a long-term relationship, you might have joint finances. It's about shared values as well as joint money. It's also a deep house of spirituality as well, spiritual learning, diving deep, psychotherapy, that kind of thing. Third and ninth is very much about learning, studying, writing, broadcasting, disseminating, teaching. Third house is very much about your local day-to-day life. It's the Gemini house. So it's your neighbors, your friends, your siblings, your day-to-day coming and going. That's third house. Whereas ninth house is much more metaphysical, reaching out to the cosmos and much more expansive. Fourth and tenth, that's about your personal domestic life, the life of the home and the family and your loved ones, versus your career or your work in the world, which is being emphasized right now, and what, you know, which has to sort of take a step back, as it were, for a while. Fifth and 11th, this is a very social axis. The fifth house is your house related to children, creativity, games, speculation, all that kind of thing. The 11th house is friendships, network groups, political affiliations, social media. Also a sense of your individual purpose in the world as well. Sixth and 12th, as you probably know, they are very related to health. Sixth house, obviously health. 12th house tends to be more critical health sometimes. And they also highlight things like sixth house being of practical service to people, 12th house being of spiritual service to people. Sixth house, pets. 12th house, large animals, horses, elephants, that kind of thing. And so these are just very, very basic, simple expressions of those house areas, but you can dig much deeper with the material. And just to say as well, if you are born with the North Node in Aquarius, every 18.6 years, you are going to have what's called a nodal return, where the transiting North Node comes back to your natal position. So if you have.
Okay, it's time to kind of stop because it's wrap up time.
Yes, and we pass the talkie stick back to you, Rainbird.
Okay, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, thank
All
you.
right. Yes, thank you very much for this evening. It was beautiful listening about those nodes. That was really good. And also everything else we did, the mother talking to mother, and it's the day out of time now, and in a few minutes on the Eastern time zone. So let's enjoy this day out of time, and we'll meet again tomorrow.
Thank you so much, Rainbird. Happy
Thank
birthday,
you.
Randy. 2 minutes and counting.
Yeah.
Yes. And until we meet again, we'll see everyone tomorrow. Sweet dreams, and see you on the bridge.
Namaste.
Namaste.